Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another sterling rendition of the House Money Sports Podcast. I'm Wolfman Jay in the house making his inaugural appearance on House Money Sports. We have Jay Gray.
Great to be here. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
All right. So we're going to get right into it. This is going to be the inaugural baseball edition of the House Money Sports Podcast. So we got a lot going on in the off season to talk about right now. I'm a huge Cub. Okay, so let's throw it out there. We're big Cub fans. I'm not going to be biased, but this guy's going to try to stay as biased as he possibly can. But so there's going to be probably a lot of Cubs talk. So let's just throw that out there and get that out of the way first. And the first topic that we're going to talk about is Addison Russell, none other than the Cubs shortstop. Is he going to be the Cubs shortstop of the future? What do you think about that, Jay Gray?
Honestly, I think that Theo's got too much invested in him, and they're going to make a run and see what kind of spring he has. He could always be cut loose at the end of spring training. He's got to sit out April either way. I really think they're going to see what kind of performance. If he doesn't completely shit all over the bed in spring
training. Not all over. Like, he could shit half of the bed.
Right. A couple little nuggets at the foot, you know, at the end of the bed. It's not anything.
They'll still keep him around.
Ordinary.
They'll clean it up and keep him around.
He did that all year last year. He left nuggets everywhere last year.
He's been doing that since 2016.
I think if he has a decent spring, then they'll throw him in beginning of May or whenever his suspension's up, and they'll see what kind of performer he really is. And he knows that he's going to have to step up, so, you know, it's sink or swim time.
So here's the thing about Addison Russell. They just tendered him yesterday, right?
Yep.
So they have decided, through all of the turmoil that he's been, that they have been faced with him, they decided to keep him at least until going into spring training. If they cut him before 20 days before spring training, they have to pay a sixth of his salary, which would be $600,000. So they're just keeping their options open with him. Personally, for me, I tend to think that they are going to keep him. For some reason, Theo Epstein, no matter what he says, he has a hard time getting rid of this core group of young players.
Absolutely.
No matter what. Like, we've already played out the probably, like, Albert Almora is going to play out the length of his contract, right? So most of these guys, well, you would think. I mean, on that to come.
Yeah, right.
So,
who the hell knows?
But Addison Russell, I believe that he is going to be a opening day. I think Addison Russell is in a Cub uniform, probably batting seventh in the lineup, playing short. Not opening day. Definitely not.
Opening after his 30 day.
Right. So, yeah, or 40 day. Is it 40?
He got 40. He already served 10. So he's got 30-ish. May 1st-ish.
Okay, so the 30th day, the 31st day, and then, I don't know, because is he going to, he might need to maybe.
Is he able to play minor league ball or rookie league or instructional ball to stay in that baseball shape?
Right. So he's going to come out of spring training, and I don't think, I mean, if he's suspended, I don't think that he can dress for any organization affiliated with Major League Baseball.
I honestly don't know the answer to that.
So we're going to get the stats guy on that. But either way, when his suspension is over, I think he's going to be in a Cub uniform. So that is my opinion. I got it on tape.
He's too valuable to let go. There's just no way. We gave up Jeff Samardzija and a pretty decent Jason Hamill at the time in order to bring back Russ.
We traded
everybody else in that deal. Billy McKinney gone.
We traded Jeff Samardzija and Jason Hamill for Addison Russell, Brian McKinney. Billy McKinney, who's the pitcher in that? Straight or
was it Dan Straley?
Dan Straley and
some Brooks. Brooks something.
Yeah. Okay, so we traded Jeff Samardzija and Jason Hamill for Billy McKinney, Russell, Dan Straley, something, and Jason Hamill. Because we got Jason Hamill right back year.
Right. We didn't trade for him, though.
No.
But they did get a year and a half of Samardzija, too, which they only used the half year and then flipped him to the White Sox.
Yeah. So, but either way, looking back.
If you let Russell go, we get nothing back in that trade. I'm sorry.
Right. If we could touch on that for a second, I feel like that trade earned Theo a lot of stripes. He got a lot of gold stars for that one. And right now, it's not as lopsided as it was at the time. I will say that, because Addison Russell hasn't reached his potential at all. I mean, he's a great defensive shortstop and all of that stuff, and that's great and everything. And if I could talk about that for a second, or actually make a note of that, because I want to come back
to that. Knowing what we know now about his domestic issues, we can kind of maybe pinpoint a reason, or at least make
for
an
his
excuse
struggles?
For his downturn in 26. You got somebody screaming at you all the time, and you're doing your own crazy thing, and not reacting.
Right, right.
Not at all reacting appropriately, from what I've been understanding.
There can be off-the-field situations
absolutely.
That make you not perform as good as you could on the field. So, but I think Addison Russell, at the end of the day, is going to be a Cub next year.
I agree. I agree with that completely.
And would you agree that Theo Epstein, for whatever reason, has a hard time trading any of these core players? Schwarber, Baez. Like, he held on to Baez. Like, he is the one guy that didn't want to trade Baez off of the Cubs was Theo Epstein and Jake Gregg.
He would have been selling crazy low. He knows when to buy and when to sell, at least, except for when to buy free agents. He doesn't seem to be very good at that.
Definitely not.
That's a whole nother case of beer, though.
That is definitely a whole nother case
of
beer.
We'll do a
Theo. We should have a Cubs section. So, but anyway, the Cubs have tendered Addison Russell, so there's a lot to go. That was way too valuable to just let him go. So that's where we're at with that one. What else? What else do we got?
Well, I think the Russell talk kind of dovetails into what the hell is Theo doing with Ronald Torres? I mean, why would we give up LaStella just to get a replacement LaStella that's a slight bit cheaper and then non-tender him? What in the hell is he thinking? I haven't checked the wire to see if Torres has been claimed by anybody, and I don't know if he accepted his outright 40-man. I mean, maybe he's just going to hang out in AAA, but he didn't have all that horrible in numbers, given his defensive versatility, which he can also play shortstop.
So you're talking about Torres, right?
Yeah, Ronald Torres.
So explain, I think it's important to know, when, so they traded for this guy, right?
Yes.
And they brought him in, but they did not tender him. So it's important to know what happens when you're non-tendered. So do you know...
So they brought him in. He was on the 40-man contract. Then the 7 o'clock deadline for tendering contracts or letting dudes go to either waivers or Rule 5, that deadline happened at 7 p.m. Friday. When that deadline happened, shortly before that is when they released Torres. So they outrighted him off their 40-man. So now a team that has less than 40 men on their 40-man could probably snag him, assuming he doesn't have to pass through the Rule 5 draft, which... he probably does, because I don't think he has enough years under his belt. He's young, and he's like 26. So it's just a mind-boggling move, because any team with, like the Texas Rangers with, it, let's say they have 36 guys on the roster, that's a guy you snag up all day long.
So,
because look,
so,
a team like the Cubs will trade for him.
So the,
not either.
Right. So the concern there for the Cubs, like if they want to keep him, like what's the downside of not tendering him? So he could go...
He's gone. So
he's available to anybody that doesn't have the 40-man roster full.
If he's not Rule 5 eligible.
If he's not Rule 5 eligible. So what if he is Rule 5 eligible?
That's where it's a little bit of a gray area. I don't know. This is a really complicated situation that does require a whole lot more research than we've done prior to this podcast.
Yeah, this is some crazy, like, payroll, baseball... Johnny Metrics guru 100% shit. Like, why trade for somebody and then not tender him? Like, there's all kinds of strategy from every single angle going on with this.
Absolutely.
And there's...
he could accept his outright assignment, too, and just be on AAA and not part of the 25-man, but he could be part of the 40-man.
So if he accepts
his... he wouldn't be part of the 40-man if he accepted his outright. He'll just be on the Iowa Cubs, for example.
So if he does it, he could choose to accept that.
Yeah, and it'd be...
and then just go play in minor leagues and stay and not be on the 40 man, but at some point he could be.
Something happens, they
right.
switch him to September call-ups, whatever.
So there could be some
injury or a Russell
behind
trade
the
down
scenes.
The road. You know, if Russell comes out of the gate and kills it from May 1st, do you keep him?
Yes.
Because then at that point,
absolutely.
Now you've got a shortstop, but you know that he's a hot and cold shortstop.
That's,
are we just going to assume that all his domestic off-the-field stuff is over with for the rest of his life?
I think I think that, yes, if he comes out of the gate scorching hot, the Cubs are going to keep him. They're going to be like, well, we believed in him the whole time, and he's been our guy.
Do you think he'd be more likely?
But if he sucks at all, then, yeah, I they're going to not have any problem getting rid of him. He made it easy for him.
It wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world if he actually did sign some sort of extension midway through the year, if he proves himself a little bit, because he'll be taking a contract on himself, knowing with his ups and downs, and he's a Boris client, which kind of weaves into that a little bit. Boris, as you know, isn't about to hear anything with regards to Chris Bryant extension, which we'll get to that later. But him having Addison Russell as a client, if he actually was able to make good on his playing ability and go back to his, you know, gold glove level defense and 100 RBI.
The defense is never going to be an issue with Addison Russell. That's the only thing, that is the only thing that makes him valuable right now at all, where you could make an argument that there's value there to keep him or even to do anything with him.
Absolutely.
So, all right, so let's move on and let's talk about how do you feel about the Mets and the Mariners trading your best closer. Trading arguably the best closer in the game.
Yeah, Edwin Diaz is a monster.
So, right. That, with Robinson Cano's crusty old ass. I mean, maybe they're trying to move on from him and...
I mean, he's crusty, but he's still performing. I'm surprised to see him not going to an AL team. You know, where he could get some days off.
Yeah.
So you know, you're going to have him come up and pinch hit.
But that trade isn't official yet, right? So...
It is not, but it's reported to be like...
It's like the closest thing. It's like Buster Olney and all those guys have it. It hasn't happened yet. Quote, you know.
He's holding up quotations.
Right. Like, they're probably waiting to see if Robinson Cano is going to test positive for steroids or something. To see if they make sure they're all out of his system. Or something like that.
Well, the fact is, when he came back after his 80-game suspension, he actually didn't perform all that bad. So if they're assuming they'd be testing the shit out of him after he comes back from an 80-game, you know, it's reasonable to say that he might be productive, at least for the first couple years of the rest of the, 5 years he's got left. So he's owed $120 million.
He's still 100 years old, right?
He's 35, but which Ben Zobrist is going to be, 38 this year?
And yeah, but Ben Zobrist.
That's old.
No, he's going to be 30, like... No, he's going to be 37, right?
I think he's 37 right now.
So he's going to be 38. Did you say 38?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, Ben Zobrist lives pretty clean. I mean, he probably wakes up at 5 o'clock every day.
His wife is a Christian gospel singer.
So, yeah, I'm sure that Robinson Cano, probably his longevity, didn't play out like Ben Zobrist has. But you could play until then. And Robinson Cano, you know, it's not like he's gonna like his role is not like
he's not gonna be batting number three for the Yankees,
right?
You know what I mean,
right? And so there's definitely value with him, you know. And but I can't figure out why they would trade the arguably the best closer. I mean, the Mariners are gonna try to either rebuild or, I mean, obviously they don't think they're going to be able to compete.
No, they're building it up to compete in 2020. That's what they're saying, 2020. But I don't necessarily buy that, because you don't get rid of a closer that you still have 4 years of control of that's that badass. I mean, we're not just talking some dude that had a decent run. He had a sub-2 ERA with 57 saves.
I would have to look at his metrics.
This dude killed it.
I know. He's ridiculous. And his stuff is filthy. So I would need to look at, like, his metrics to see maybe if there was a reason, if there's something else. Because there's a lot of times, you know, the basic stats don't really line up with, like, some other things.
Yeah.
With the Mariners, is Dan Vogelbach the first baseman / DH of the future?
I mean,
he probably should be.
No, I don't think Kyle Schwarber Light needs to be the DH of the future.
Yeah. What did he bat last? Do you know? Do you have any of his stats from last year?
I remember he did decent in AAA. He's always done decent in AAA, like upper twos, maybe low threes batting average.
He's like a minor league all-star.
Little bit of pop, 17 to 25 ish home runs, somewhere around there.
He is a prototype minor league all-star.
Oh, dude, he's gonna go to Korea and slay.
He'll
hit 70 home runs in Korea. A dude like that would slay in a foreign league. But yeah, he's a 4A-er.
Yeah. Right. That's a good category to put him in.
I mean, he'd be a triple A. We had the
Byron Buxton team. Vogelbach would be a good candidate for the Buxton
absolutely.
Team.
Absolutely. The all hope and all flop in the bigs.
Byron Buxton was the number one prospect in baseball for like 7 years.
Yeah, and Jurickson Profar right up there with him.
Jurickson Profar was on the Buxton team.
I've never been big on Profar or Buxton, either one. Buxton actually is a ridiculous defensive center fielder.
He is.
And I think it was maybe...
As Russell.
Maybe 2017, I think, even. He had a really good year. Like, I mean, by war standards, offensive and defensive combined, he was a multiple win player.
He just does a lot of shit that I don't like strike out like all the time. I just don't... Yes, well... Like, he's fast as shit. He's definitely a good player to have on your team. Like, he can do a lot of things to help your team win. Like, he can catch every single ball that's hit into the outfield line to line. And he can steal every base that there ever was. But, like, he just, like, the situational... I like situational players that can come up and move a runner along and get a base hit that and not strike out.
Productive outs.
And, yes, productive outs and not strike out after the seventh inning. They just completely fall... flat on their ass.
Yep,
Byron Buxton is one of those. But
it's not like he's hiding in an NL lineup batting eighth where they got a pitch to him or anything. He's got, you know, legitimate hitters. Well, I don't know. Twins hitters would be arguably legitimate, but
yeah.
Miguel Snow.
Robbie Grossman. Yeah, Miguel Snow.
Dude, he had a horrible year last year, man.
He was obviously a little frustrated with his year last year. So, all right. More to come on that thing. But so how are the Mets going to be? What are the Mets doing next year with Edwin Diaz? So Jurys Familia is not there anymore, correct?
Well, he's a free agent. I doubt they'll sign him now that they have a
closer. Right. So, yeah. I mean, unless he's going to be in a setup role, which you can never have too many closers like
that.
That's true,
but he's going to get closer money.
But he really wants closer money. Yeah. Absolutely. So
he deserves it.
Is this a move that the Mets see as a chance for them to be good and compete in the National League East? It looks like the Braves, you got to believe that Bryce Harper is not going to be there. So are the Mets going to make a move to try and compete in that division? You got the Braves and you got the Phillies. Those look like the teams that are at least up and coming. And it looks like a two-team race right there, but are the Mets going to try to sneak in there and wiggle their way in?
I don't know, man. I almost wonder if they got Diaz so that they could trade him later at the trade deadline for a package better than the one that they gave up. Which, by the way, if it includes Jeff McNeil, it even makes it more mind-boggling because that guy came out of the gates and hit like 330.
That's the guy that's going back to Seattle.
That's the guy that's going to Seattle. Allegedly, he has been listed
rumored
in the discussion.
In the
he's also been told that I've also read articles that indicate that he's not part of it. So if he's not, then a little more respect to the Mets. They could probably throw McNeil to third base. I don't know.
That's just the phenom in the Mets system.
He wasn't a high-ranked prospect, but he just came out of the gates and just slayed it.
Is he younger?
He's like 26, I think.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, those are the guys.
25, 26, but man, but you look at guys.
Bodie.
Guys that do that.
Bodie.
This guy kills. I mean, Bodie is great, especially defensively.
Well, I just say, age-wise.
This guy came out and hit, like, 330.
But he's still in the minor leagues?
No, Jeff McNeil, no. Hell no. If he's part of the Mets organization come spring training, he has a starting job at second base. Which means
every day. Did he play last year every day?
Unless we're
did he play at all last year?
He did. He came up and dominated. That's what I'm saying. He hit 330 when he called up to the bigs.
Gotcha.
Great plate discipline. At least his walk to strikeout ratio wasn't too lopsided in the bad direction. He turned a lot of heads. And if they included him on the trade, it must mean that either they know something about him that nobody else knows, or they're just that dumb because Mets. You know?
How long has he been up? was last year.
I think 60 games. Yeah, 1 year.
So, I like my prospects. I like my rising prospect potential to be 23 and under. That's just me.
There's nothing.
When I get it like a 25, like I feel like they're old and gray by the time they're 25 and making their debut.
You look at a guy like.
But
there's guys that flip that script though, like JD Martinez, for example.
Did he come up late like that?
JD Martinez came up late. I don't know. He just fell off the radar, tanked, and went to rock bottom.
JD Martinez was on the radar, at least, though, right? And then he kind of blossomed. He didn't reach his potential until later. There's guys like that, right?
Well, yeah.
But the guys that come up for the first time at 25, like they're career minor leaguers until they're 26, I have my concerns about those guys.
Well, David Bodie would be one of those guys.
David Bodie is a prime example of one of those guys. And I wasn't a big Bodie fan last year either. Like, David Bodie was what he was, and it all played out.
He was a mythical god legend.
Yeah, when he first came up, he was like, he was a cult legend. There was people ready to trade Chris Bryant, ironically, when David Bodie came up. Yeah, he had a start that is just, he set the bar too high, for one, and he did level off, and he was what he was. But those are that he's not an everyday player, Bodie. He could be a very mediocre everyday Major League Baseball player.
I think he could be an everyday player on anybody any team.
Yeah. Well, yes. And mediocre at that. He's gonna bat 243.
It's hard to argue that.
He's gonna bat 243. He might come out of the gate and bat like 340 in April, yeah, with like 8 home runs, and you know, that's great. But at the end of the year, after 162 games, he's going to be, you know, right around 243 with 20 home runs. And
I mean, it's hard to root strongly one way or the other, because we know that guy's working hard right now listening to the podcast probably, and we're sorry, David.
Yeah,
the truth hurts.
Perfect, but you are a perfect example. You're a perfect example of a guy that comes up late, and that's what you are. That, you know, you're not gonna get. I don't feel like you're gonna get a superstar that comes up when he's 25 or 26 for the first time.
No, that's
tough. Those guys are usually up at 20, 21.
DeGrom's a decent example.
Is definitely a decent example, but he came up as a shortstop.
Oh, really?
He was a shortstop in the minor league. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So yeah, he started off as a shortstop, and then he
was a tall-ass shortstop.
Yeah. So that's why he came up later as a pitcher. But yeah, he came up as a shortstop, and then he switched to pitcher. But
that does make sense.
But what was I going to... Oh, Scoop City. Apparently... Madden loves Bodie, and because he is like straight arrow, you know, like they have a bunch of wild people on that team apparently, and David Bodie kind of offsets all of that, and he's just like a real professional, like when he came up. So that's a big, he's got that going for him, like it's a gold star in his corner.
Yeah, I mean, if we figure out when the hell's going to happen to Torreyes, and maybe Torreyes goes to AAA, they could probably have Bodie take LaStella's place all day.
Bodie is a great insurance policy.
He can play second, too.
Bodie is the prototypical perfect insurance policy, because yes, he's versatile. He can play all over the infield.
He's cheap.
And he does have... He's not like... He's Mr. Clutch. He's Mr. Clutch, and he can hit. So he can put together a good couple-week run where... He's decent. So, Bodie's an insurance
policy.
I'll take Bodie as an insurance policy. But is he going to play every day for me on my Cubs? Probably not. I don't even know if I was really like... For him to be on the 25-man roster. I got into some Twitter wars last year about David Bodie. I won't get into him here, but there was a lot. Like, as soon as he came up...
Imagine that.
As soon as he came up, everybody, like... There were people that were, like, a little bit dramatic. Like, overly theatrical about this guy. So...
It was hard not to be, man.
I mean, when you hit a grand slam with two outs in the bottom of the ninth with down three runs...
Yeah, you do, like, the most epic thing that every child has ever dreamed of
with
doing.
With two strikes.
Yeah. I mean...
So...
I don't remember who that was off of either, but it was probably Washington's closer.
It was Washington's closer.
Doolittle or?
No, it was not Doolittle. It was Madsen. It was Madsen. I think
before
it was a low.
They flipped him to the Dodgers.
Low 93-mile-an-hour fastball. And he didn't get it.
They flipped him to the Dodgers, and he gave up some dongs in the World Series.
He did. He's a dong waiting to happen.
Yep. He's donging it.
So, all right, man. Let's talk about, and this is, this is not my favorite subject. Although, it could be my favorite subject if they're doing shitty things to get even shittier than the shitty organization that they already are. But what are the Cardinals doing? So you have some Cardinal topics that you want to talk about.
I want to speak about interesting topics. And I, as a Cub fan, I find myself following, like Jesse, or like, fuck.
Nah, that's cool. Wolfman. Like it's all good.
Like the Wolfman.
I'm not on the run from the FBI. You guys all can know my real name.
All right. My bad. No, I follow that team because, know your enemy. I want to be able to talk shit to Cardinal fans about them, about their own shitty team, and know what the hell I'm talking about. And it's really awesome when I know more about what I'm talking about than they do. And they're still crazy optimistic.
Which happens just about every time.
It gets funny. That's for goddamn
sure. Cardinal
truth.
Fans are the most obnoxious fucking assholes in the world.
I don't know, man.
Packer fans are a close.
There's some obnoxious fans from everybody. It's hard not to say that. I'm just going to be Mr. Politically Correct.
The Cardinal
there's
way.
There's assholes everywhere. Anyway, I really don't know what the hell the Cardinals are doing. Because they tried for the last couple years. They tried to get Jason Hayward. They tried to make a big splash with David Price. They tried to make a trade with Stanton. They had the trade with Stanton from the Marlins completed. Stanton said, no, I'd rather hang out with the Miami Marlins than go to St. Louis and play for what a lot of Cardinal fans seem to think is a perennial dynasty.
The best place to ever play.
Right, the best fans world. In the history of the world.
Yeah, best city, best fans.
That might be true. Maybe I'm just that much of a hater.
Shitty-ass city. The fucking arch is a piece of shit.
I know a guy.
I'm never going that again.
I know a guy that pissed on Stan Musial's statue, and I'm not gonna name any names, but I was there, and it was absolutely fucking hilarious. I just kept walking because I didn't want to get, thrown in jail, but hey. Anyway, that's a whole nother conversation.
Who could that have been? I have no idea.
So the Cardinals failed miserably at getting Stanton, Hayward, Price, which, they might have lucked out on the Hayward thing. He didn't stay the Hayward that he was when he was with them in 2015. So the question is, what are they doing trading for Marcelo Ozuna? And now they only got 1 year left with him. They're going to throw him out there with Harrison Bader in center field and then a platoon of Dexter Fowler and Tyler O'Neill. Dexter Fowler's about run his business out of town. Everybody seems to have a problem with Fowler, and he sucks on top of it. So he's also owed a lot of money. That's an untradeable contract.
First of all, fuck the Cardinals for bringing up players like Harrison Bader and having them be good. But anyway,
he was a Peoria Chief, man. I was watching him, and I was sitting there going, man, that dude's gonna be something. And I'm not even kidding.
Also, really quick, why is Max Muncy not a Cardinal? But anyway.
I mean, he probably was.
He's seriously has Cardinal blood DNA in his blood, but he's going to be at some point. He's probably a Cardinal fan growing up because he is the prototypical
guy. Max Muncy would be
the
guy that we
nowhere.
Were just trying to talk about. A dude that doesn't, you never heard of him, and then out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. But when did he come up?
He was with Oakland and did horribly a couple years
ago. To me, there's a difference between guys that come up and struggle and then figure it out, and then guys that get
up
brought
down,
up out
up
of nowhere.
Down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
And
the first, get brought up after they've been in the minor leagues for 7 years and then come up.
Right.
Not
well,
even necessarily
coming
up
for the
up
Rule
up.
5 draft, and they got to try to see if they got anything there, any kind of spark on the big league team.
Yeah.
And the team's got to be out of contention to do that anyway.
So, why doesn't anybody want to play for the Cardinals?
I don't know. That's a pretty decent question. But it does seem as though they're probably not going to land Bryce Harper or Machado just based on... I've heard ownership.
I hate to see it.
Ownership and Mozeliak did mention that they have a lot of payroll flexibility. They got a great television contract. And their payroll's not ridiculously, but it's fairly low. I don't know. I have checked probably bottom 10th. Bottom 10 team of the league as far as projected payroll starting opening 2019. They got a lot of starting pitching. I can honestly, if I'm the Cardinals, I make a trade with my glut of starting pitching and get include some controllable dudes, and I ship them to Arizona, and I get Paul Goldschmidt to play first base, and then I move Matt Carpenter to third base, and then boom, you got Ozuna, Carpenter, which who knows what the hell Carpenter is going to be, but you got Ozuna, Carpenter, and Goldschmidt, and that, as a Cubs fan, is pretty goddamn intimidating.
If you get Barry Bonds, Carpenter, yeah, that's the, Carpenter is two different players. He's either the best player that's ever put on a baseball glove, or he's like
Dexter Fowler.
Yes, or like, yeah.
I love you, Dexter, if you're listening too, bud. You're good in the blue.
I tell you what, I was never a big fan of Dexter Fowler, and I saw this coming to my... I was like, when he was going to sign that big... See, people forget about Dexter Fowler, yep. Is that Cubs picked him up off a scrap heap.
Nobody wanted his ass.
Nobody wanted him, and then he went to a perfect situation for him where he could play in a good culture, in a good environment, on a winning team. They put him at the top of the lineup, and he thrived in that.
For $8 million on a one-year deal at the end of spring training.
But he was never, like, he was really, really, like, he was never, like, consistent enough. Like, he put up good numbers, and he's an OBP guy and all that stuff, and he solidified the leadoff spot, which
as a switch hitter, too.
As a switch hitter, which is super, huge. Super huge. It's really important. So that he had a lot of value on that team. But any other situation that he's going to go to where you're giving him $80 million and you expect him to put up, be that type of production, you're not going to get it out of him. He could have been that. The best place where you're going to maximize his potential was exactly where he was with the Cubs.
Yeah.
Bottom line for him. So, but...
And he did. He did maximize that potential.
Absolutely.
He did.
He was a big part of that. He was a big part of that championship team. But he's the fourth outfielder right now for the Cardinals.
Yeah. Him and Tyler O'Neill are going to platoon right field, barring any other trades. Tyler O'Neill's a badass, but...
I have to look at his
platoon stats, though. There might be a reason that he doesn't face a lot of right-handed pitching, but that dude's got light tower power. Could go to an AL team. The Cardinals need to make some moves. They have a glut of actual MLB regulars sitting on their 40-man, and they need to ship some of them dudes off. Otherwise, they're just going to dwell in, you know, around 500 and maybe compete for the third spot in the NL Central.
What, at what point are you the Cardinals? You're sitting back and you're saying you got the Brewers and you have the Cubs. They're going to be there. If you're the Cardinals, you're trading for Paul Goldschmidt. That's what you're doing.
Absolutely.
So you're trading for Paul Goldschmidt. You're trading Carlos Martinez or one of those guys.
I'm trading for Paul Goldschmidt, and I'm signing a relief pitcher like Adam Ottavino on maybe a 3 or 4 year deal, or maybe even a Kimbrel if his price drops because he had a kind of his second highest ERA that he's had in his career last year, almost 3.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's going to get 6 years. That's a
what's his FIP? His FIP. Jody Metrics likes to look at the FIP numbers. The ERA. Is not the best.
I hear you. ERA does
tool.
Not account for defense or ballpark.
So that's not all the best way to look at the value, but there is value in looking at that.
Yes.
You know, it is relevant. So yeah, I mean, Kimbrel, you know, pushing three ERA for a dominant dude like that. I remember when I first watched him pitch, he threw like a laser beam. Like I saw the ball out of his hand, and then the catcher was catching it. So and I was like, this guy is going to be freaking awesome. Anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah. If the Cardinals would get Paul Goldschmidt and Kimbrel, that puts them right back on the map in the landscape of the NL. At least if they're not going to compete for the division championship, depending on there's a lot of.
I don't know if that moves enough because like they still have some holes.
Yeah. Well,
you know, you get Goldschmidt and then you know, that's great and all, but are you still better than Rizzo, Bryant, Schwarber,
no,
Contreras? I mean,
right.
Yachty's going to be a year older, too, and that dude has seen some.
Yeah, Yachty's going to play
them
forever.
Them tires have so many miles.
Exactly. He's just like, at this point, he's just playing for, like, the nostalgia
and
of it.
Kudos to him for the season that he even had last year.
He's gonna get, like, the, yeah, exactly.
Every day. First ballot, man. I hate the Cardinals, but that's a first ballot.
He's gonna
right
get,
there.
He's, like, gets the treatment, like, the, like, when I'm ready to leave, I'm gonna leave. Like,
yeah.
I'm gonna play
yeah,
until I'm ready.
Terms,
not
and
playing.
I'm gonna play on my own terms for $20 million a year.
So, but, oh, shit, man. What was it? Oh, no. Not if they're going to compete for the division. Just put them in the National League landscape where they can compete for a wild card or any type of postseason.
Right.
They're going to be – they're making those moves makes them a team that's competing for at least the postseason berth, or to be a they're not rebuilding at that point.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
And it also depends on what from their major league roster they have to give up in order to get a Paul Goldschmidt. And, you know, they're going to lose draft picks if they sign a Kimbrel to a big contract. And
yeah.
You know, a lot to be said on that. But
and yeah, and I'm sure they have about two or three guys, white guys in the minor leagues named Tanner. And, that are gonna bring up and be good out of nowhere.
Yeah,
so absolutely. You got to account for that every year.
A Hazel Baker or two. I mean, there's a Hazel Baker lurking in the Cardinals system. Don't even sleep on them.
Exactly.
They're there.
There's a Tanner Goodfield somewhere playing shortstop. That's gonna come out of nowhere. That's a career 230 minor league hitter.
He's gonna have 450 for 3 months.
And don't sleep on Max Muncy either. The Cardinals someday, because that's gonna happen. That is a match made in baseball heaven right there.
Hey.
I look at Max Muncy and I think, why is he not a Cardinal? Like, how did that not happen? And it's going to happen.
Yeah, it probably will.
So
he'll go to the Cardinals and suck. He'll sign a 5-year, $80 million deal and then shit the bed. Leave Nuggets at the footstep.
So, all right, so that's what the Cardinals are doing. My opinion, I think they're going to suck, and so I'm happy about that. And I'm really happy to see that nobody wants to play there, so.
Yeah, that's great.
So, I got that going for me.
That's pretty cool.
So, so we have a big move. Brian McCann going home.
Yep.
He, that's where he came from, right?
Yeah.
That's where he started, Atlanta.
Yeah.
So, McCann's going back to his original spot, and Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, the Donaldson is another thing that the Cardinals missed out on. They could really, really use a good third baseman, and until they get Goldschmidt at first, they're not going to be able to move Carpenter over to third. I don't know what the hell.
Just but another? Yeah,
$23 million for 1 year is a lot of damn money, but that is probably the going rate for a guy that's probably going to produce at least 2+ WAR this year. Now, are they going to get 5+ WAR MVP? Perennial MVP candidate Donaldson? Probably not, but it's a make.
If they do, though,
it's a good deal for both. Oh my god, if
they're scary,
it's over. Yeah, dude, that's over. You throw Acuna, a healthy, good Donaldson, and
your boy,
my boy Freddie Freeman. I can't stand his face, but he's.
Yeah,
that's a whole nother.
You thing. Have loved Freddie Freeman since the day he came up,
man.
And Freddie Freeman is a feather in my cap because I picked him in the minor league draft before he was even good.
Yeah,
and so I saw that one coming.
Is your boy.
My track record of scouting minor league prospects speaks for itself. I won't go into that, but yeah, if they do get Josh Donaldson, if they do get perennial all world, take over the world, Josh Donaldson, then the Braves are looking pretty good. I think it's the Braves. Are probably my second favorite National League team. Probably my second favorite team in baseball just because the 90s, they were good, and I was always pulling for them to win, and they always lost in the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
It's cool to see them back, like, relevant again, and now they're just looking to add pieces to, you know, instead of... Like, they figured out that, okay, our prospects are good. We're going to be able to win, so let's go ahead and fill some holes.
Yep.
That's what they're doing.
Man, they have so much starting pitching, dude. They need to... If they flip a starting pitcher or two... I mean, they have like 10 of them. It's absolutely ridiculous. The amount of controllable pitching, high end talent that they have is sickening. Now let's assume they're going to keep 5 of them dudes, and then also deploy out a couple veterans like Fultonavich and names that we already recognize. They can throw 2 or 3 serviceable number 2, number 3 MLB ready to go starters to any team for any of their... I mean, they got to do something about right field. Markakis is a free agent.
Markakis is getting up there. He's a
free agent, too. So, I mean, he's gone.
So, yeah. So, he's not coming back.
Well,
possibly. There's a chance that
there's
he
a 1 in 30 chance that he's going to be a Brave.
So...
Maybe a little better, but...
Yeah, because he might like that culture. He might want to stay there and see that.
But are they ready to throw a Nick Markakis out there in right field? I'm sorry, dude.
You did. Wow, you just dropped that out of nowhere. They might throw Nick Markakis. Like, if they want to keep the chemistry, he's perfect. Nick Markakis is the guy that I would like to see on the Cubs. He's the dude that's going to play every... He's a good at bat.
is he a right fielder though? I mean, is he the guy that you
want? Well, no, I mean he's
and
not.
I mean, power wise and defense wise, and I mean, what about him? Where do you want him to play?
He is a good role player on a great team.
He's a
meaning
fourth
he,
outfielder, making $15 million a year.
He's a three and a half ish to fourth outfielder.
Getting I would Dexter Fowler money.
If he is on a team that already has a lot of power, he's a good quality player.
Absolutely.
Because he's station to station, gap to gap.
Batting average.
He's gonna get on base. You know, he's gonna be a good at bat, he's gonna move runners along. I like the guy that has the good at bat. He's valuable on a great team like that, and the Braves are a great team like that. So they don't need his power. So he's a good fit there. So if they bring him back, I mean, I could see them bringing him back.
Do you see a championship team having Nick Markakis being the right field starter every day?
With the other variables in place, yeah.
Why can't you keep a straight
face? I'm just saying he batted 300 last year. I mean, because... I don't know. I feel like...
But Mr. Sabermetrics isn't all that about batting average.
No, he's not. No, he is definitely
What the hell
not.
Are you talking
but,
about?
But, I'm just saying, in the right situation...
He's a good ball player.
He's not going to be able to go... He's not going to be able to be that guy. You know, if you want him to go and be like one of the major run producers on your team...
Like a right fielder... Usually is.
Technically, yes. You know. Technically, yes. But you can win with Nick Markakis.
Oh, yeah. If you have Josh Donaldson on third base and Freeman at first.
That's what I'm saying.
And Acuna.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Exactly.
And they got Kurt Suzuki. Or not Kurt Suzuki. That's the Nats. They got Tyler Flowers and Brian McCann on backup.
So, yes. So, is Tyler Flowers going to start? That is a platoon right there.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I love it, man. Flowers is
veteran.
An absolute monster. Best framing catcher in baseball.
McCann will fit right into that role as backup catcher.
Yep.
Perfect.
Veteran
role.
Leadership.
Exactly.
Do it back to home.
So the Braves.
That's a no-brainer there.
Like, look the fuck out. We need to look the fuck out segment.
Yes. Oh,
and
dude,
put
been,
the Braves in there.
I've been looking the fuck out for the Braves for a couple years now, man. They're nasty. Dude, their farm is disgusting. They have so many badass dudes.
It's kind of like...
Rule 5 is going to fuck them pretty soon if they don't trade off a bunch of guys, though.
It was like the Cubs, and it's like the Sox. We should talk about the Sox, too. We should talk about the Sox before. I don't know about today, but
Chicago White Sox.
The Chicago White Sox.
Red Sox.
Since we're talking about the Braves, real quick, I just throw this out there. We won't spend a lot of time on it, but who do you like better as far as young talent, Braves or Sox? I've had this debate with Sox fans.
Man, I mean,
Acuna
still considered young talent?
Yes. Yeah,
then
absolutely.
I'm probably going Braves. Acuna is the best out of everybody.
The thing about it is the Braves have more established talent that have made it, like Acuna,
that's
where
true.
The Sox have more unknown.
Man, yeah.
So it's easy for me. It's the Braves.
Right.
But
yeah.
you also have, and Kopech got hurt, so that's a huge knock on the Sox as far as that debate.
Well, we knew he was going to... You can't throw 105 miles an hour all day.
That was stupid to bring him up when they did, because you knew he was going to overthrow. Yeah. At the end of the season, he's never pitched that many innings in his career anyway. They should have just shut him down.
They just lost like a year and a half of control over him, didn't
that
they?
Was so I mean, stupid
yeah,
to bring
was,
him up when they did. They
that was a
just,
White Sox move. I mean,
yeah,
no shade,
shut
no
him,
shade
no.
on them, dudes. Not like Theo doesn't make bad moves, but that was fucking stupid. What are you doing?
At some point, we're going to come back and talk about Theo's moves. We're going to break them all down. Probably not this one, but maybe the next one. Because I really have wanted to do this for a long time. Is break down Theo
like
Epstein.
Go back from 2004?
When he got here.
Yeah.
No, not the Red
They're
Sox.
Not bringing the track record.
We could.
Of bad signings and decent trades.
So we could go two best and two worst. Something like that. Because if we break them all down, there's a lot to do.
Yeah.
But the Cubs, though, there's been some really, really bad ones. There's been some great ones, no doubt, but there's been some stinkers. Like, they almost probably bounce each other out right in the middle.
Man, my boy Edwin Jackson.
He came, right?
He was part of it. Edwin Jackson's one of my favorite players in all of baseball. He's an actually decent human being.
He was part of a postseason rotation. Edwin Jackson.
Yes.
Right, he was part of a playoff team.
Yes, this year.
Starter. Yeah.
And he did great. He had like a mid-threes ERA for Oakland.
He's one of those guys that has good stuff.
I'd love to see him go to Oakland just because he had not played for them yet. That was like his 13th MLB team.
Yeah.
Got a no-hitter on his resume. Let's forget about the fact that he walked eight people during that no-hitter and threw like 148 pitches.
Hey, he was but just, he was, happened. It was, yeah, it was,
Coach wasn't going to pull him.
Yeah. Hey, maybe it was strategically walked.
Yeah, I mean, shit.
All right, so Braves are good. Right, we're both in agreement there.
Pretty hard to argue.
Okay, so what else we got here? We got, let's say in the NL East, we got the Mets and we got Syndergaard trade. What do you got?
All right, my thoughts on the Syndergaard trade are the fact that he's under 3 years of team control, and his agent is the guy that used to be his agent is now the Mets GM. So the fact that they're even publicly mentioning that they're engaging in Syndergaard talks with teams like the Padres and the Reds. Or, no, not the Reds. Ah, shit, I can't remember who
the
it was.
The Padres are interesting.
Is really, that's a whole nother topic there. The Padres are really interesting. But the fact that they're publicly letting it known that they're engaging in dialogue regarding a Syndergaard trade makes me wonder if the GM of the Mets, who used to be his agent, knows a little bit more regarding his medical records, maybe his preferences, maybe he doesn't want to live in New York. There's something behind the scenes going on that nobody knows about. But I would be very, very reluctant to engage in a trade for a Syndergaard unless you're not giving up a whole hell of a lot, which 3 years of Syndergaard, if he's healthy Syndergaard, get the hell out of here. I mean, that's costing the farm. Maybe that's cost a couple teams will have to combine their farms together to get a guy like that. So the fact that they're even making it known is just, man, a little red flag comes up. I don't like it.
The thing with the Mets is that, so they're trading. They're trying to bring in players that are going to make them better. But then Syndergaard would probably be a cornerstone of your team if you're trying to... You're trying to be good. If you're not rebuilding, and if you're bringing Robinson Cano in, that's definitely not a rebuild.
You're not making moves to contend,
right? Well, yeah, and that doesn't scream rebuild when you're bringing 75-year-old Robinson Cano in. So trading Syndergaard there, that is.
I think honestly, they're doing a full blown rebuild, like the fullest of blown ass rebuilds.
So that's when they bring in the retreads, and then whoever's.
They get the a couple young proven badass MLB dudes like a Diaz, and you know, they're gonna try to cash him in. Trade deadline
could be. That's a good.
A team would give up their life savings for a Diaz come, you know, July trade deadline.
It's good to get that on tape because we can reference this and say how smart we were if that does happen. But that's
something that should happen.
That is crazy.
What the hell are they doing otherwise? What the hell else are they doing if that's not what they're looking at? They're going to flip Diaz. They're going to flip Edwin Diaz. I'm calling it. They're going to flip his ass halfway through the season when they're 14 games under 500 and 7 games out of first place.
There you go. You heard it here.
Which actually, that would mean that the first place team is only 500. So no, I'm going to have to up that. They're probably going to be about 20 games out of first. 14 under.
At the All-Star break next year.
Yep. At the trade deadline.
Man, they should have traded DeGrom last year. If they wanted to completely rebuild, the Cubs should have made a run at DeGrom.
Oh, my God. Maybe they did. You know, maybe they didn't like what they got. And this is also from the previous GM, too.
Yeah.
Maybe the previous, you know, GM that didn't have a whole lot of success there. Although they were in the NLCS in 2015.
Oh, yeah, they were.
I don't know how I remember that one.
Actually, they were in the World Series.
It's not an emotional topic or anything, bro.
They were in the World Series in 2015. All right, let's take a break.
Yep, this next break is brought to you by Casey's Pizza. They got macaroni.
Casey's Macaroni and Cheese
macaroni
Pizza.
Macaroni and Cheese Pizza.
Which is not for everyone, but it's for some.
It's pretty damn good.
All right, on that note, we're going to stop right there. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the Brewers. And hopefully those are all bad things. And then the meat and potatoes, the one that I'm looking forward to is the talking about, would it be crazy for the Chicago Cubs to trade Chris Bryant, not only in their pursuit of Bryce Harper, but just to trade him at all. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk about that. Stay there. Blood out. All right, welcome back to the inaugural House Money Sports MLB Balls Deep Edition, Sterling Rendition, if I might. Let's talk. We got some NL Central stuff going on. We have some concerns over the Brewers.
The Brewers rotation. What in the hell are they doing?
What the hell are the Brewers ever doing with their rotation? And first of all, I'd like to say, before we get started, really quick, I want to throw this out there. Fuck Christian Yelich. Jay Gray.
Hey, I like Christian Yelich, actually. He's a pretty decent dude, but he does play for the Brewers.
So. He is actually...
He was a lot better of a guy when he played for the Marlins.
He is another feather in my cap, scouting report, minor league draftee from the Bleacher Bums. I will say that. Also...
I can confirm that.
Also,
I disagree. We argued about Christian Yelich's overall value many times.
But I knew that once he got into a winning environment and a winning culture, that he would be good. He's another one of those guys that you could just see that was gonna flourish and reach his potential. And he's a great hitter, left-handed bat. So
I give you credit for that, man. You did actually see that, but nobody saw this kind of Christian Yelich.
No,
not even you.
I thought that he was gonna be five tools. That's why I got him. I wanted a little bit of everything.
He is that.
So, but my biggest feather would have to be, oh, Jesus, I'm drawing a blank on his name, Andrew Benintendi. He was like the 50th prospect on the board. I had to dig deep for that one. Did you give me the heads up on
him? I gave you the heads up on Andrew Benintendi.
All right. that is a debate for another day.
You did, man. Because even like a year after that, you're like, dude, Benintendi. I'm like, nice.
That was Jay Gray. I don't remember.
Jay Gray
okay, so
exclusive.
I guess I can't say right now. I'll buy it for now. But we're gonna have that's a deeper dive into that one. But I just remember I looked. He was the 50th prospect when I drafted him in my minor league draft. Usually, the guys that are 20 and up are the guys that go. Anyway,
the reason I was high on him is because he was a first rounder drafted by Boston. Boston first rounders
and
always
he's from college, and he was a college player too. He was tearing it up at Arkansas.
Dude, Boston's been on a tear with their first rounders, man.
But former Razorback.
Look it back many years, man.
Andrew Benintendi looks like a fucking baseball player. Like, if you sketched out a baseball player, it would look like Andrew Benintendi.
Yep.
So, but anyway, the Brewers, if we could talk about them for a little bit. And this is like, there's not a lot of going on. You know, it's obviously the off season. The hot stove is cranking up. You know, winter meetings are probably, if they haven't started already, they're probably getting ready to start. So we should take this podcast on the road and go there next year.
Hell yeah.
Come back with jobs. We probably work for the Padres or something. But the Brewers starting pitching is going to be a question mark for them. They have everything else. They're loaded.
My whole thoughts with the Brewers
are, bullpen is
what are they going to do to get themselves to that next level? I mean, you got Ryan Braun's ass decaying over there in right field, not having any kind of defensive value whatsoever, and limited offensive value for a right fielder. You got your first baseman locked down. It's too bad. It's got to be a platoon between Thames and Aguilar. Aguilar's a beast. I mean, he hit the home run.
He's an asshole.
He
called out the Cubs. I will say that. Also, I do respect Christian Yelich, too, for the way that he called out Manny Machado for not hustling and being a bitch and stepping on Aguilar's foot in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was some shitty shit.
But
ain't no doubt about it.
So, Jay Gray is concerned about the Brewers lineup and how they're getting old, right? So, you're not sold.
No, they're getting old. Lorenzo Cain is not going to be 2018 Lorenzo Cain next year.
You would have to say that their bullpen is that. You put that in the good bucket.
Yeah.
But then the starting pitching is in the bad bucket, and then their position players are...
In the mixed bucket.
Or in the mixed bucket, right?
So what are they going to do? They got to make some moves.
They got Lorenzo Cain. He's going to be there. You got Christian Yelich. You're good there. They didn't tender Scope.
Braun's a staple in right field. Ain't nobody going to take that contract.
So, yeah, Braun is going to be with the Brewers until he's dead.
So they non-tendered Scope.
Yeah.
Jonathan Scope.
Yep.
It's kind of a surprise move, but he was projected at around the $10 million range. So if there's kind of payroll concerns, then that kind of makes me think that maybe they won't be in the market for a... I mean, obviously, you can't get Bryce Harper because Harper's going to be in the outfield. And you got Lorenzo Cain's expensive contract, and you got Christian Yelich, which he's just won the MVP. So there's no way in hell... There's no way in hell they're altering their outfield. So Bryce Harper to the Brewers will not happen. But if Manny Machado somehow happened, maybe they do try to shed some contract and maybe... Or shed some cash and maybe getting rid of Scope and his $10 million projected last year of arbitration... Maybe that's a way of doing it. The Cubs just did it. They got rid of Drew Smyly for $10 million.
That
blew my mind. It blew my brain out of the fucking frame that it's held in.
The strength was going to be their rotation depth if it wasn't their rotation. And I had Smyly projected in as my fifth starter going into the season.
All day.
Gone.
Well, what is when they tendered that? Now wrap your head around this. Now we're gonna talk Cubs for a minute. I guess we're getting a little sidetracked.
We'll get off on the Brewers and they're fucking sucking.
They suck.
Their mixed bucket of shit. Fuck Jesse Aguilar.
That's pretty accurate. So if the Cubs, the day that they traded Smyly was the same day that they tendered Cole Hamels contract. So that would have put them with a four. Left-handed, heavy starting rotation.
Yeah, that's
probably why somebody had to go, and it wasn't going to be Quintana. It wasn't going to be
Lester.
Cole Hamels or Lester. So you get rid of Drew Smyly. Now they got Kyle Hendricks and
Chatwood.
Oh yeah,
our guy Chatty.
No, Chatwood's not. I don't think he's ever going to play another game in a Cubs uniform.
Wait. So let's talk about that for a second. Yeah, Lester, Hendricks, Quintana. Hamels, who's their fifth starter right now?
I know we're forgetting.
I mean, I know it's football season and the Bears are in first place.
Yes, they are.
But...
I'll give a shout out to the Bears for that.
We're going to have to get back to you on that one. We'll get the stats guy on it. We'll get the intern.
But Chad,
what are they going to do with Chatwood?
Chatwood, there's no way he can be the fifth starter, is there?
What else are they going to do? Are they paying him $26 million?
They have, 2 years, 26, I believe, is the number.
So what are they going to do with it? They're not going to be able to trade him unless they get really creative. And then they package up like, so the Cubs are going to have to be like, all right, we'll give you Ian Happ, but take Tyler Chatwood too, and we'll take back, whatever minimal... You know what I mean? Like, hey, we'll scratch your back, take this dude.
It's going to have to be something like that. And hope and thank God that Theo makes moves like that.
I thought
that
it was Drew Smyly.
I think Drew Smyly was a good faith move to the Texas Rangers. Like, hey, you gave us Hendricks, give us virtually nothing back and take this guy that we're not sure about. Nobody's really positive about. Oh, Mike Montgomery, another lefty. So, yeah, dude, you could have had a starting five of all lefties.
Well, Hendricks.
All lefties and Hendricks. But, yeah, man, no. They can't do that. Kudos to the stats guy for getting us that. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
Yes. Good on you. You could have another beer. All right, since we're on the Cubs, well, let's talk about the Reds first. Let's talk about the Reds because I want to – let's close it out with the Bryant. Trading All-American
man, he need
boy
to go,
Chris
yeah,
Bryant.
All right. What about the Reds?
The Reds, they are looking at Dallas Keuchel and J.A. Happ for their...
They are. They're looking at LaSalle Peru native J.A. Happ.
St. Bede's own.
They're looking at him and Keuchel. That's just the reports. But the question is, why the hell? I never even would have imagined them being in the mix for a front-of-the-line... I mean, now granted, Keuchel's got his question marks with his 2018 in-depth stats, like your boy...
Metrics.
Yeah, your
old
boy...
Johnny Mett.
Johnny
Mett in the house.
Johnny Mett doesn't say good things about Keuchel's 2018. J.A. Happ, on the other hand, proven AL East monster, powerhouse, clutch. I mean, performing in the big games.
Very consistent pitcher. Somebody you can rely on for sure.
It's really, really intriguing as to why the hell the Reds would be interested, unless they want to flip him halfway through the season. Maybe they get him on a two year 25. But I don't know, man. I see J.A. Happ probably getting 3 years. He just made really good on a 3-year 36.
Those are two moves where...
Scratching your head.
Well, if you're making those moves, you're picking those pitchers up and you're putting them in your rotation. Those are moves that, like, you're trying to win. So maybe the Reds, but with the division that they're in, are they going to be able to compete with the Cubs, the Brewers, and possibly the Cardinals? You know, I don't know. That doesn't make a lot of sense. The only thing that I can think of is they're pretty established. Like, they have a lot of offensive weapons, and they are, even though they play in one of the best hitters' parks, they do have a top 5 to 10 offense across the board. So, in terms of, like, weighted OBA and all that stuff. If maybe if we can, you know, if we could get some pitching and do that,
you know,
maybe we can see what we have.
I haven't dove too deep into Keuchel or Happ's advanced metrics either. Maybe they are.
I don't think Keuchel's advanced metrics are that good.
Maybe they're guys that don't allow a lot of home runs or a lot of hard contact.
And that's for that part.
Ground ball rate's high. You know,
I can't see Happ's
Cincinnati run would make some sense.
Yeah, true. That maybe the. That's good to know. That's good to know.
There might at least possibly be an angle there.
That could be the angle where that would probably have to be one of the best angles is if they were, you know, sinker ball, keep it on the ground pitchers. Actually, I think Keuchel might be that. But Happ, I can't see him having soft contact just because of he's not an overpowering pitcher. A lot of off-speed stuff.
Kyle Hendricks doesn't allow a lot of hard contact either.
Well, that's something to keep your eye on. But the Reds, I will say, you know, they do have a good offense. So if they could ever get some start, well, they have a good offense based on the numbers, based on where they hit. I don't know the splits, you know, so I don't know how, but they do have Joey Oldass Votto going to be
Scooter Gennett forever. Plays like Scooter Gennett played lately.
Scooter Gennett is good.
Yeah.
And then you have Pat Hughes, Eugenio Suarez, all Pat Hughes team, Eugenio Suarez. They have some weapons, and they have my guy. Oh, is it Eugenio? We just had this conversation.
We did just have this. Right. I was looking at you like, what? Are you serious?
I thought you were confused on the all Pat Hughes team. I thought I was gonna have to break that one down, but it was yeah. I definitely was mispronouncing it again.
After we just had that conversation. That's a whole other.
We'll come up with it all.
It was definitely a Pat Hughes favorite.
Wilson Contreras might be something.
Conas Treras.
We might have to talk about that for a second. Yeah. And they have my guy Nick Senzel coming up. He was another draft prospect that I picked, tore it up at Tennessee. He got hurt last year, but he was ready to come up and contribute, so he'll be up next year. So maybe the Reds are thinking they're making some moves.
Isn't he a third baseman?
He is a third baseman.
And they just signed Suarez to a long contract.
I gotta believe that one of them is gonna move to a corner outfield spot.
Sounds about fabulous.
I mean, they're not gonna keep
Senzel. Where else are they gonna move? Senzel. He's not gonna move to first base. Votto ain't gonna play a corner outfield spot.
So, I mean, unless they're gonna not just bring up, unless they're gonna trade Senzel or not bring him up.
Well, yeah.
So.
Second, first, and man, it would be locked up on that team.
Oh yeah, for sure. But man, how weird would it be to see Dallas Keuchel in a Reds uniform? That would be. I just had that thought, and that would be strange. Dallas Keuchel.
Well, he's not going to be in a Houston uniform, so now all the teams I'm picturing kind of look strange anyway.
It's just weird, yeah.
It's going to be weird to see Anthony Rizzo in a different uniform after 2021.
You think that's going to happen?
I really, man, I fucking hope not. I cannot picture it.
Here's the thing with me. Like, I am not the
biggest. We're going all over the place, by the way. I'm sorry for sidetracking.
No, it's cool. It's cool. I just think that Rizzo, for me personally, I've never been the biggest Rizzo fan. I know that's hard for you to believe.
No, I remember a lot of heated texts.
But the thing about him is he was the guy that jump-started the golden era of Cubs baseball. So you would have to think that he would be one of those guys you just kept as for whatever he wanted, lifetime Cub.
He's the Cubs Yachty.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but even though he might not be as productive, and even though some people might have a problem with his high leverage numbers, whatever the case might be,
Somebody else that doesn't have the same problems with Chris Bryant, you know, regarding high leverage. But you know,
right?
Man, there was a reason why you weren't that high on Rizzo to begin with. So
that's the thing.
I think we're scratching the surface on that one.
So even though I don't, I would like to see Rizzo stay there just because he's the guy that started it all, pretty much, in the Theo regime.
Andrew Cashner, one for one. That was a great deal.
Yeah. And maybe Castro, too. You might throw Castro in there, sprinkle him in a little bit, because him and Rizzo were about it for a long time. And they had your Mets rebuild that we're talking about, where complete teardown, bring in a bunch of retreads, Chris Coglin.
Boy, Edwin
you're all
Jackson.
Chris Coglins.
My boy Edwin Jackson was
Edwin Jackson was part of that.
Part of that attacking process.
All right, so you want to just stay on the Cubs, and we'll talk about thought process behind trading Chris Bryant?
Well, I mean, it seems as though the thought is that he's going to be extremely expensive, and he's a Boris client. He's reported to have turned down $200 million, which sounds absolutely insane for a guy that could break his leg tomorrow and never be the same guy he's ever going to be. But, I mean, that's a lot of damn money.
Yeah.
He's probably got $20 million in the bank, maybe $25, whatever, right now, but that's crazy. But that's the type of guy that Boris is. But yeah, I think the idea of trading him, it sounds good, but who are you going to have play third base? You already mentioned earlier in the podcast that David Bodie's not your everyday starter on a championship team. I fully agree with that. Okay, so you throw Javi at third. Now who plays second? Ian Happ? Now we're diving into the roster. Now what are you going to do with between the Almora Happ thing, which I think Almora should be the every single day starting center fielder.
I don't. I disagree.
Okay.
I think
his splits aren't that bad.
No. Well, with me and Almora, okay, with my situation with Almora, he doesn't do anything like
great.
Great.
Except for defense.
At the plate. So defense, definitely. For me, he's a fourth outfielder. At the plate, he's a light hitting center fielder. He had 5 home runs last year, so he doesn't steal. He had 1 stolen base. You know what I mean? So,
right.
In terms of that,
he's not your Billy Hamilton.
I think he's a perfect. But you know, I mean, he batted .280. So
he's good, man. He's good.
I just think the smaller sample size of him.
Right, he's probably the 17th best center fielder in the majors. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of
and
people
the Cubs
that want
need
him
to get a guy in the top 10. You know.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say I would be completely opposed to it, because he doesn't do anything terrible either at the plate. So he's not great, but he doesn't do anything.
AJ Pollock's on the free agent wire.
AJ Pollock would be great. I would take AJ Pollock.
My boy who lost me $20 thanks to getting injured in spring training 2 years ago. AJ Pollock. Shit, I want my
dude,
$20.
Dude, that was your fault.
If the Cubs sign him, I want my $20 back. Straight up. Give me my money, AJ Pollock. You hear me?
Yeah.
I know you're listening.
This guy put $20 on AJ Pollock to steal 30 bases?
30 bases. And what's he do? He breaks his damn leg.
Broke his arm in spring training something. He broke his shoulder in spring training.
He wasn't
the day after.
We were joking about it. They brought him back in like late August or something. And I was like, oh, he can get there. He can get there. Come on, buddy. And I was like,
AJ Pollock, you owe this guy $20 if the Cubs sign you. I'm sure you can afford it. So
what do you do with Almora though? Too, I mean, I know you want to get to Bryant, but Almora, what do you do?
That's what I'm saying. They basically kept him through the duration of his tradable value, right? Like
Almora,
yeah,
been for 3 more years.
I know, but I'm just
maybe
saying
4.
I don't think his trade value is maybe as high as it could have been ever. You know what I mean? I mean, what do you do with him? That's the perfect question. He's like the absolute example of a guy that's such a tweener. What do you do?
Man.
If you're not sold on him playing every day, then you probably should go ahead and trade him to see what you can get back from him and give him an opportunity to play every day. Or, in my opinion, he is a great fourth outfielder, but does he want to play that role?
Could you imagine him playing center field for, I don't know, the Yankees? Or a team that has a lot of sluggers?
Yeah.
To where you're surrounding him with Judge, Stanton, I mean, you know, you got these monsters. Sanchez.
That's a good. That's a. That would be a good. He would need to be on a team where.
Where his defense and on base skills are all that he needs.
He
does not need a lot of OPS. You know, a lot of slugging.
I think his OBP was only like in the 320s too. For a guy that doesn't have a lot of pop.
Low walk rate.
That's not very good.
I have to check his K rate too, because I don't think he strikes out a whole hell of a lot.
He doesn't. He doesn't strike out a whole hell of a lot. I did look at it. I took a deep look at his metrics because I've talked about this a few times, and a lot of people are big on Almora. It's like the backup quarterback syndrome, right? Like, everybody wants the backup quarterback to play.
Right. When the starter does shitty.
But at the same time, the more we saw of Almora, the less, like, he completely, he regressed a lot.
Yeah, out of the gates, he was hitting like 3-something.
Exactly, and then he started playing more, and then you saw the regression. And I always said that, and I always thought that there was a reason why, you know, they hid his deficiencies by not playing him every day, and that was, because I mean.
I was trying to tell you that about Schwarber, though, man.
I was trying to hear nothing about Schwarber.
I'm like, dude, Schwarber for a long-ass time, and I'm like, dude, Joe Maddon only plays Schwarber when it's in Schwarber's best interest to
absolutely.
Be in the lineup.
Absolutely.
And the days that he wasn't in, like, you know, 75% of the time he was in there against righties. And as it turns out, he doesn't do as well against lefties. That's your platooner, but man, Schwarber's got more value than that, and I'm a big Kyle Schwarber fan.
I was the biggest Kyle Schwarber fan. This is the first offseason where I could actually say confidently that I would be okay if he got traded. Like, before, I was like, don't trade him, way too much potential, left-handed power hitter, there was no grow on trees. He's fucking gonna be good. Let him
do
recover.
Do you think his value is at the maximum right now, though?
No.
So what do they do? Do they try to see if it gets worse or better?
Well, that's another one. See, that's what the Cubs are. They have so many of those guys where they never. You still don't know what their potential is. Have they reached it or anything like that? They have like five of those.
Yeah.
They, you know, Hap, Contreras, Russell, Schwarber, Almora.
I think we know what kind of Contreras we're going to get. He's not as up and down, but yeah, his power dropped off big time in the half of 2018.
He went from the best catcher in baseball, in my opinion, after his 2017 year, to a very below average offensive catcher.
The best defensive catcher still. I mean, I don't know. I would never in my life, like, want to run on Wilson Contreras.
No. But they're talking about moving on from him, though. You know that, right?
I have not heard anything.
Realmuto. It just came out yesterday that Realmuto.
Everybody's sniffing around on Realmuto.
But they said, I guess I read that they are thinking about moving on Contreras, and the first thing that popped into my head was HGH. They have to know something. If you're going to move on from your young established catcher, your bullpen, your clubhouse,
starting cheap catcher,
who's been in the system and the clubhouse loves him, catcher, you got to know that there's something coming, or that there's going to be a lot of regression for one reason or another.
I have heard that they are asking for the sun, the moon, and at least three of Jupiter's moons as well for Realmuto.
Probably. Jeter?
And, like, the Cubs can afford the sun, but I don't know about...
And the moon.
I don't know about the other, objects in the solar system.
Realmuto is the best offensive catcher in the game.
He had his best offensive career year last year. His trade value will never be higher than it is right this second.
It was just crazy. I never thought that the Cubs would think about moving on from Contreras. He was one of those guys where I thought, like, that... Even when you're talking about the young tradable players that could bring you back value, I never thought that he would be one of them because he is a catcher. Like, you can't get those.
What about that workload, though?
He has a heavy workload. That's going to happen with.
I mean, Yadi had a couple down years.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're talking about the playoffs and stuff, the extra games.
Yeah, dude. Just and the regular season where he had the most innings caught in
because they played all those games in a row and stuff too. They had like 43 days in a row where they played. So yeah, that's a heavy workload.
He would have got a lot more rest then.
True.
I mean, that,
well, yeah. So I don't know.
Well, they didn't have a good backup either. It's not like Chris Jimenez or who the hell. Victor Caratini. That now we'll all right. When we make our Theo discussion, we will have to include the trade that sent...
To the
Emilio Bonifacio
to the Braves.
To the Braves to get Victor Caratini and
you
LaStella,
love that trade.
And LaStella back.
Dude, I remember talking to you about that,
man,
and
I
you have been on Victor Caratini from day one.
He's a switchy man. He's
from day one.
Be,
I will
might
say
not
that
be an all-star starting defensive when the catcher, but he's not bad, man. I love me some Victor Caratini.
When the trade went through, the Victor Caratini was the hot name. The hot button for Jay Gray. So yeah, I will say that. And he was a big component all the way through. And it looks like Victor Caratini is a major league catcher. Probably not a starter every day type of dude.
Well,
but
he hasn't been given that chance.
But he could be. I like Caratini.
I see if Contreras gets injured, Caratini steps up and shit.
Could he be the guy? We're gonna find.
He hasn't yet been given the chance, but yeah, we might find out if Contreras gets traded, but not if he gets traded for Real Muto.
True.
Although a Contreras for Real Muto trade would make some sense. 4 years ago, or 3 or 4 years of team controllability going to Miami, and then 2 years of Real Muto coming back.
Yeah, that wouldn't. I just read that. The thing about that is, like, regardless of, like, whether it's good, bad, I just can't believe that Contreras' name is out there like that. I never thought that that would happen.
They
would
be selling way low if they did.
So, just to talk about Chris Bryant, all right? So, my view on the whole thing, right? This is just me. Everybody loves Chris Bryant. He is the absolute 100%, probably the most marketable person in baseball, if not all of sports. Like, he is the golden boy.
Dreamy as
like,
fuck.
Yeah, if you, like, I'm pretty sure there's, like, when you see him, there's, like, a glow.
I told
and
my
sparkles.
Girlfriend that if she left me for anybody,
Chris
Bryant's the only one that I'd be okay with.
Yeah. So,
I'm not even joking.
So that is the biggest obstacle that you have to overcome if you're even talking about trading Chris Bryant. The thing, now, the production issue that I have, right? Like, he's a right-handed power-hitting third baseman. I like my power hitters to be left-handed. That's number one. That's not really the biggest issue. But the thing about Chris Bryant is I've never... He does have low high leverage numbers, right?
Yes.
So
he is very unclutch.
Not very clutch, and his height and the way that he bats is going to lend itself to potential health issues moving forward that are going to make his decline a little bit more. And here's the thing, right? You could get a ransom. Like, you could get a ton of good players to help you win. You can rebuild your farm system with
by
one player.
Chris Bryant.
So the trade value is astronomical. That's the only, you know, I mean, obviously that's the biggest, that's the only thing. That's the biggest win.
But it is at an all-time career low point for Bryant right now.
True. But I
right this minute.
But is there ever... True. But even at a low point for Chris Bryant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
You're talking about 26 or 27-year-old former
MVP. I want to trade him to the White Sox and get Eloy and Dylan Cease back.
Oh, God.
How cool would that be?
I mean, want Dylan Cease and Eloy Jimenez back so bad.
Baby, come back. I mean, seriously, man. Come on.
Q.
Dylan and Eloy.
Q. Fuck yeah.
We're throwing Marvin Gaye. We're throwing all
dude,
that
who
shit
sang
on.
That?
I don't know, man. Was that...
Baby, come back. Oh, man. That was...
Temptation? I really have no
idea. No, that was...
That's not my ballpark.
Man, we're going to have to come back with that one on the next one. I know exactly who sang that. I just can't come up with it right now. They were the...
Some serious doo-wop shit, I'm sure.
It wasn't doo-wop. It was, they sang Southern Cross. And the Southern Cross. Anyway. Well,
that doesn't sound like a good song that I want to listen to. But, all right.
So, Yeah, I will get. We're gonna come back with that one.
We're throwing
the Bee Gees, the freaking Bee Gees.
Oh, that was the Bee Gees.
By God, yes,
oh,
that was the freaking
wow.
Bee Gees. All right,
I learned something today.
So, yeah, I want Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease back.
Yes.
I mean, I could end the podcast forever.
Dude,
right there.
What if the White Sox sign Machado and Harper and get Chris Bryant? Do they contend? No. Not until they sign, like, Patrick Corbin, Dallas Keuchel. I mean, they got to make some moves, man. They're so far out of it. I don't see them making sense with a trade like that. But, man, would that be cool.
So, we can... So, yeah. So we can talk about trading Chris Bryant. But we need to know for 100% sure. Would you trade Chris Bryant? We can talk about the positives and negatives of it. Would you have the balls, as Tekashi 6ix9ine would say, the balls to trade?
I would.
Chris Bryant right now.
I would.
For the right price.
I would. I absolutely would. I mean, it depends on what teams are
going to I think he's overrated. I'll throw that out there, too. I think he's a little bit overrated. He's a very good
hitter. It's hard not to be when you're that rated.
Right. True.
And he's rated as a motherfucker.
Yes.
I mean, let's not.
He is rated as a motherfucker, for sure. But
I mean, who do you trade him to, though? You know, I mean, NL Central, get the hell out of here. So
right. Yeah, you wouldn't trade him.
Does he play third base for the Yankees? What the hell do they get? What did the Cubs get back from the Yankees? They traded their alleged number one prospect in Justice Sheffield to the Mariners for my boy James Paxton. I love me some James Paxton. That one hurts. That one did hurt.
Not to be confused with John Paxton.
Not to be confused with John Paxson.
But James Paxton.
Oh, shit. My bad. No. Isn't it James Paxton?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. All right.
But not to be confused with John Paxson.
No, not at all. I think you said not to be confused with John Paxton. That's why I was like, wait a minute.
So, yeah, I would trade Chris Bryant, too, because you're going to get a lot for him. You have guys that could, Javi Baez could play third base every day. So, you're good there.
You're good there if Addison Russell is good there at shortstop.
True.
You know, because if you're not, now you got to make another move.
And let's talk about this really quick. I am all for Daniel Murphy playing second base for the Cubs. I'm tired of the defensive run save bullshit. I'm tired of scoring one run for 40 games this season.
What kind of contract are you giving Daniel Murphy when the Cubs are bordering on luxury tax?
Yeah, I don't know.
And talking about trading $10 million Drew Smyly away.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
Ryan, he ain't gonna take a 1 year, $8 million contract.
In my hypothetical world, there is no payroll. So,
well, you know, I'd like to live in that world too, man.
I would love Daniel Murphy.
I'd have to look up the penalties for exceeding the luxury tax, because I don't believe it to actually take effect until you exceed it 2 or 3 or 4. Like, it's got to be a multiple year thing. So the Cubs could balloon the shit out of their payroll next year, pay a high tax for it monetarily wise, but not lose any draft picks.
Every million dollars or something like that, there's like 30% on top of that.
Yeah.
If they traded for Chris or for Bryce Harper and paid him $30 million a year or whatever, it would be, realistically, it'd be like more like $50 million a year with the luxury tax threshold penalty.
Right, but if it's just money, do it. If it's draft picks and international signing money, which they've capped the holy dog shit out of international signing money. Like, you can't just be the Dodgers or the Cubs when they sign Eloy and, Jorge Soler. They blew everybody out of the water on that, but they signed Eloy and... God damn it, they signed Eloy and somebody... Oh, Doug, Gleyber Torres. The same exact international signing period. They got Gleyber, like, number one and Torres number three, or vice versa. Something like that. They were both top three draft picks. And the Cubs...
You just pulled a Wolfman J.
The Cubs just... Sorry.
You got it. They pulled Gleyber number one and Torres number two.
Yes.
They got Eloy.
Oh, shit,
number one.
Jimenez. Yeah, my bad.
But they might have got Torres number one. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, either way.
They're all good.
Them dudes were in the top
three. Man, how about that?
And the Cubs got both of them guys. That's what I'm saying, man. It's ridiculous. So the fact that... I mean, it kills me that neither one of them are Cubs anymore. We did win the World Series, so it's all
exactly.
Good.
No matter what. everything has an asterisk by it because they won a World Series.
Yep.
So, but I would like to see Eloy Jimenez again. I want to fucking Dylan Cease back. Yeah.
Let's get Bryant over to the south side real quick. I'll just sneak him in there.
Dylan Cease is going to be better than Quintana Pat Hughes by himself.
Probably, but is he going to have as team-friendly of a contract? That's the thing.
True.
Quintana, I think this is his last year as a Cub, but man, that's $10 million a year for a decent number four is pretty good money. When you're paying Chatwood, which is a decent number eight starter for the Texas Rangers or some shitty-ass team, I don't know, man.
All right.
Chatwood's got to go somewhere, though.
I don't know about Chad. We might have to get your guy in here.
Yeah.
To talk about him.
I actually should.
Dude, that's... Yeah, so... you want to talk about that? You want to talk about your...
Yeah, all right. So
maybe. We might have a special guest for the Balls Deep segment or the Balls Deep episode.
Even if we don't have a special guest at any point, I do have a Major League... a former Major League pitching coach of 30 years...
That could make an appearance.
That was also a former Major League pitcher... he could possibly make an appearance. Nonetheless, though, I could pick this dude's brain and get any kind of answers anybody.
But he is a
questions.
He was a big Tyler Chatwood.
He was
full disclaimer.
He was a Tyler Chatwood dude. So I got a lot of questions to ask that guy. He asked me the first thing he asked me this summer as Chatwood started pitching for the Cubs. He was like, "Hey, so what do you think of Tyler Chatwood?"
I love that.
I said he needs to find the strike zone. And he goes, "Yeah," and then he went on to talk about all the different things, and I told him, and you know,
I loved the Tyler Chatwood signing.
Oh,
to hand in the air on that one all day. I was like such an upgrade over old ass John Lackey, and he had. All right, so Jay Gray has a little nugget about what you said. They're going to build a
Major League Baseball Stadium.
In Portland without a team.
That's based on an article I saw. It's supposed to have like 32 to 34,000 capacity. And it's like a grim look into how Major League Baseball forces taxpayers and cities to fund baseball stadiums. It's kind of crazy. They're actually looking to have the first pitch happen in opening day 2022 based on the article I read. So... it might be something to look into. It's kind of crazy. It's obviously going to have to be a dome. It rains every day on the West Coast there.
Hey, did you ever find out if Safeco Field was a dome?
It is a dome. It's got a retractable dome.
Retractable roof.
Yep.
Of course.
Yep.
That's the way to go. Portland's going to definitely need one of those.
I guess the dome isn't retractable. It's the roof.
Let's make a guess on what their mascot would be. So what are you going to name the Portland Juggernauts?
Damn. I don't know.
On the spot. You couldn't even get any more on this. Like the Portland Megatrons?
I don't know. Do you do the Portland, like, wildfires? Or, oh.
You could.
Shit.
Too soon?
Yeah, might be.
Yeah, you could do that.
A lot of people lost their houses and shit. That's probably not cool.
The Portland Trailblazers?
Oh, shit. They're already burning down shit. All right.
Well. Boom.
All right, so I guess we got to leave fire out of the... I don't know, man. What sounds good to you?
Yeah, I don't know. The Portland, I like the, how about the Portland Bill Waltons?
You know, it'll probably be...
the most famous Portland alumni that there is.
It'll probably
in the world.
Be the Portland Rays.
You like that?
I think the Tampa Bay Rays are on their way out.
Oh.
The Portland
You're talking
Rays.
About the Portland, the Tampa Bay, I would have been the best team in the National League Rays.
Yes.
They didn't even make the playoffs in the American League.
They're... stadiums like in shambles and they have no attendance in spite of their decent, you know, highly above average team having 90 wins in the
they've had good teams for, I mean, they had some down years, but
90 wins in the AL East, they would have run over the National League for sure. But yeah, nobody wants to go see him play. So I don't know, maybe they'll build a new stadium over there. But who else has shitty-ass attendance? Oh, Miami ain't going anywhere. They just built that new stadium there. But yeah, Portland. Something to think about. 2022.
Something to keep your eye on. All right.
Maybe their first big signing's Chris Bryant as a free agent.
Could be. For $750 million.
Right?
their entire payroll.
Yeah.
It's on one player. They're not even going to field the team. They're just going to have Chris Bryant do everything. And then market him.
And a bunch of pre-arbitration available players.
They're going to call themselves the Portland Chris Bryants. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, you know, they might be the Bryants.
They'll change their team. He's going to be on the billboard, like, in front of the stadium. He's going to be on the scoreboard.
Their mascot will be one of his blue eyes. just Chris Bryant's blue eye.
They're going to have the scoreboard. Every batter that comes up, it'll just say Chris Bryant. It'll just stay with his numbers and picture.
Yep, because they won't be able to afford to be able to change it.
Exactly. Oh, man.
Are we going to get to this day in baseball?
Yeah, so let's wrap it up with this day in baseball.
Cubs history.
Say that liberally, baseball history. And it is December 1st today. This day in baseball history in 1931. What happened?
The Cubs, okay, so everybody knows about the all-time RBI leader, Hack Wilson. He did that shit for the Cubs in 1930. I think it was 190, either 190 or 189 RBI that year. And that was when they played 154 games a year, so that's absolutely crazy. I mean, think of the fantasy stats on that shit. But the Cubs traded his ass in 1931. The year after that, he had a down year, surprisingly. Actually, Hack Wilson's a good Wikipedia read. Go in there. He was not a good guy. But the Cubs traded
none of those guys were good guys.
The Cubs traded Hack Wilson and some guy named Bud Teachout to the Cardinals of all teams.
Bud Teachout
for a dude named Burleigh Grimes.
Nice.
And so that's what happened in 1931. Cubs traded their the baddest ass motherfucker in the history of the National League.
Right. And I would say an all time Cub, Hack Wilson, to the Cardinals.
Yeah. Dude.
We have a history. The Cubs have a history of trading good player. Lou Brock traded to the Cardinals. We won't talk about that.
Who Brock?
All right. And then also on this day in 1971, man, this is where we need the sad music.
Oh, yeah.
Cubs released Ernie Banks.
Mr. Cub.
Yeah, Mr. Cub. Wow. So a lot went down. You traded probably the best Cub. Ernie Banks came along, and then you released Ernie Banks' ass on this day. So look out for the Chris Bryant to Portland trade on December 1st.
Seriously, is this day over
2022.
Dude.
But on a brighter note, this is Javi Baez, Mr. National League MVP runner-up, Baez's 26th birthday. So congratulations to him. I'm sure he's partying now with Yadi and Molina and Carlos Correa in Puerto Rico tonight.
Yadi and Molina. He's partying with both of them. Not many people know there's actually two people.
Yeah.
That's why he can play so many innings.
He's partying with Yadier and Molina tonight. Probably in his mind state, he probably is going to be partying with Yadi and Molina tonight.
You know, that's not fair, though. Maybe Benji Molina's making an appearance.
Could be. You know? Exactly. Exactly. So, all right, on that note, let's end it there. Let's get out of here. Went over a lot of stuff. We're going to bring you a lot more. We're going to try to iron out some segments, like get some segment names and stuff like that, and bring some reoccurring themes and stuff like that. So, on that note, Jay, you got anything else?
Nope. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
That's
you have yourself a fucking awesome one. Go Cubs. Fuck the Cardinals.
But how?
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.